Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And we get to gather and give him thanks today and every day. I mean, it's not just for, you know, Thanksgiving Sunday, but every Sunday and every day, right? He's been with us. He's been faithful. That song, The Goodness of God. And I just look back, I know, over my own life, back in my younger days when I wasn't really walking with the Lord as I should have. He was faithful. He was there. He's willing to lead us if we're willing to be led. And he leads us out of that wilderness and into wonderful things. And we can't give him thanks enough. But today we're going to try. Okay, we're going to give him thanks. We're going to give him praise. And we're going to hear from him in his word right now.
First reading is from the book of Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 12. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and have settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land and the Lord your God is giving you and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. And say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down to Egypt with a few people, and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord and God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. When you have finished setting aside a tenth of all your produce in the third year, the year of the tithe, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat in your towns and be satisfied. Second reading is from the book of Psalms 107, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to the city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Here ends the lesson.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 25 through 40. When they found him, Jesus, on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to the eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, What must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, The work of God is this, to believe and the one he has sent. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Here ends the reading. You may be seated. Any children want to come forward for a quick children's sermon? We can certainly do that here. Oh, no. There we go. All right, we're going to get to the sides here so people can see this, because we're going to be doing something on there. So I'm going to move you over a little bit there, Grayson. Appreciate it. Okay, you're going to have to move over. You can stand right back here. How about that? Then everybody can see a little bit better. We've got a table. Yay, all right. Now, we got more than just a table today. I've got some other things, too. Okay. Got the jar. What could we put in that jar?
Cereal.
We could put cereal in the jar. Yeah, we could. We could make pickles, put in there. We could can carrots. We could can beets. We could do all kinds of stuff, right?
Jelly.
Yeah, that would hold a lot of jelly. What, strawberry, grape, what do you think? Strawberry. Hey, I'm with you on that. And blueberry. Yeah, all right, cool. All right, I like that too. Yes, good taste for sure. Okay, so anyway, got this piece of a cereal box that I cut out here, and if I drop it, it's going to fall, right? Right into there. If I put it on top of that, is it going to fall?
Nope.
How about if I turn this upside down? Yep, it's going to fall. Of course it is. Yeah, see, you know about gravity. Put some water in there? Okay. Oh, there's a little residual water in there, she noticed. Okay, well, yeah, we're going to put water in there anyway, right, aren't we? Okay. So we're going to do that. You can hold that instead, and I'll take that. Excellent. Good job. Okay. So now, if I put it on here and turn it upside down, that's going to fall off again, right?
No, it's not.
It's going to stay there? Isn't gravity going to pull it off?
No.
Why not?
Because there's water in there.
But that's going to make it heavier. It's all going to make a mess.
Try it.
That's why I got the bowl, so that it can all splash into the bowl.
Try it.
With the bowl there too? Do you have enough faith that you could remove that bowl and we can try this?
Yeah.
They've got a lot of faith. Okay, that's what this is all about, having faith, right? Now the question is, do you have faith in physics or do you have faith in God here is the question. Okay, well let's turn it over and let's see if you're right or not. It did not.
Oh, yes it did.
A little bit, but not all of it, right? I could probably even hold it over your head and try that.
No.
Okay, all right. Well, you got to have faith, right? And yeah, that's what we see here too. You got faith that it's going to hold. And over my head. Okay. So yeah, if you have faith, you can do things that normally aren't possible. And that's what we see here. Now it's actually the low pressure that's created in here and the higher pressure around us and the differential that holds it in place due to Boyle's law and all that good stuff, but we'll say that for 11th grade chemistry, okay? So, yeah, it's faith in physics. It's also faith in God, but we have to have faith in God first and foremost, right? So have faith, right? Have faith. All right, you want to head off to children's church, you feel free. We'll take that. I've been had, yeah. Apparently they'd already seen that somewhere or something. I haven't done that one yet, but or else they knew it was coming. What? Would I happen to be a science teacher? I was for many years, yeah. Okay. Lord, give you thanks for kids and the joy that they bring. And I don't know, you just never know what they're going to say or do, and it just makes it so fun. And Lord, we give you thanks for your presence and for faith, Lord. Increase our faith. Amen. So Thanksgiving Sunday, it's all about giving thanks here today. Unless you go to St. John's, my text will be Christ the King. So I have two different sermons today. But I'm going to use this one on Thanksgiving Eve out there, so I get to practice it today and use it there still. But if you want to hear a different message, come to St. John's after this at 10:30, and you can hear Christ the King too. So it's all about giving thanks to the Lord. As Eric read earlier, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to whom? The Lord. Give what to the Lord? Thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his what endures? His love endures, his mercy endures, and how long? Forever. Amen. Yes, yes. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. And how can we give thanks enough? How can we give thanks enough? Yeah, he's given us everything. All good things come from him. And how can we say thanks enough? Can we? I don't know how. We can say thanks. We can do things to show thanks. But we can never thank him enough for all that he has done for us and ultimately for sending Jesus to make it possible for us to someday stand before the throne and join him in heaven. Without Jesus, that would not be possible. And how can we say thanks enough? I mean, just for the good things that we have in this life. When you think about that, that's next level. To make that next life possible for us. Because he's given us everything. It says in Deuteronomy today that the Lord, land your Lord, your God, is giving you as an inheritance. Inheritance isn't something you earn. It's not something you're worthy of. It's something that you're given. And we've been given so much. And once you've taken possession of it and settled in it, and we have a beautiful land here too, okay? We are blessed to be living in the United States of America. I'll say that. A lot of places around the world have it much worse. We are blessed. Even with all its faults, this is still a great place to live. So how to give thanks? The Lord instructed them, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil the Lord your God is giving you, put them in a basket, and bring them to the temple, all right? The first fruits, or the tabernacle back in the day, and built the temple, yeah. The first fruits, not the leftovers. Now, I do like leftovers too, okay? Some things are better as leftovers, but no, not our leftovers for God, only the best for our God, the first fruits. When you get that paycheck, set aside the first part of it for him, right? Maybe not every paycheck. We do it every month, okay? Every month we set aside our tithe. And that comes off the top. And we live on what's left, and he blesses it. And that's the way it works, and it's good. But that first fruits, because God first in everything, in all parts of our lives, not just in our giving, but in everything, we are to put God first, right? Love the Lord your God, your heart with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, he comes first. You have no other gods before me. He comes first. So in everything we do, give thanks to God. And in everything you do, put God first. Trying to make a decision, asking yourself, okay, what would God have me do? What's his will in this situation? Okay, and that's what I ought to do. Because his will is right. It's good. It's perfect. There's no doubt about it. If you're living according to what God intends, you're living the right way. Now, we, of course, being human, want to do things our own selfish way. I got some other ideas on how I want to live or how I want to spend my money, how I want to use my time, etc. But we should be asking ourselves, what would God have us do? That self always gets in the way, that selfish nature. It's just part of being a human. We all got it. We want to do things our way. Or even when we pray sometimes, you know, Lord, your will be done, but hey, can I make a suggestion? You know, could you possibly, you know, make it turn out this way or something? But no, he knows better than I do. And I have to get that. All right, so we give to say thanks. It's not like some churches today that, I don't know, I've seen some video clips and stuff on the computer and everything like that where they got this prosperity gospel thing going where you give to get. The more you give, the more you're going to get, the more you're going to be blessed. That's not the motive. That's not the motive. We don't do it to build ourselves up to get more for ourselves. We're just going to misuse it, right? But to give out of thanks, that is our motive. That is our motivation. That is why we give, because we are thankful. The Lord loves a cheerful giver, right? A thankful giver. And if we realize all that he's done for us, yeah, we're going to absolutely want to give as a way to show thanks, as one way to show thanks. We should also be giving or showing thanks by the way we live, of course, representing him faithfully. But back then, they were taking a tithe. They would take 10% of their crop, 10% of their gross income there, and give it to God first. God first, once again. Tithing is instructed in Leviticus. We see it here in Deuteronomy. You see it in Malachi. Now, you don't have to. This is the Old Testament. Now, we just, you know, give out of our ability out of a cheerful heart, but I still recommend it. You know, try it. Just have that faith, like we did with the kids there. Have that faith to tithe, to give God 10% first, and see what happens. You talk to people that have done this, and they'll tell you amazing stories about how they've been blessed in so many ways, not just financially. But again, we don't do it to get the blessings. We don't do it to reap the benefits. It's not about that. It's about giving thanks to our God. We already give more than 10% of your check to the government, don't we? Yeah. And how's the government going to spend your money? Some of it might be for good, okay? And a bunch of other things that they spend it on, which I would say are questionable, and some are just plain wrong. But when you give money to God, is it going to be used for good? Yes. Absolutely, okay? It's not like giving to the government. This is better, okay? So yeah, we grudgingly render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. We grudgingly give to the government, but we joyfully give to God out of thanks for what he's given us. Just look at all the blessings in your life. Wow. All the times he's been there for you. It's just incredible. All right, and he had been there for the Israelites too. Now they were to take this first tithe, put it in a basket, and the priest would set it down in front of the altar of the Lord. And here we don't pass the collection plate, all right? Only on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. But we don't. We got our giving boxes. You can give online. You can mail it in. There's many ways, you know, to give. But here they would give it to the priest, and he would put it before the altar. And at my other church, St. John's, yeah, they pass the plates, and I receive them, and then I put them before the altar. And I always say a prayer of thanks to God as I'm doing so. Lord, here's a small portion of what you've given us. We offer it back to you with our thanks. And that's, again, giving with that thankful heart. And he'd been faithful to them. Like he said, a few people went down to Egypt. Okay, so you had the time where the Israelites, there's a famine in the land, so they moved down to Egypt. 70 of them. Only 70 went down there. They started to increase in number until Pharaoh saw them as a threat, enslaved them, put them to work, worked them hard. And eventually, years later, 400 years later, we had tens of thousands and maybe even hundreds of thousands of Israelites, we're not sure the number, leaving and going back up to the promised land after wandering for 40 years because of their stubbornness and hard hearts, right? Okay, but his favor was on them. They increased greatly, and then he released them from that slavery. He released them from that captivity and brought them to this wonderful promised land flowing with milk and honey. It said in verse 9 today, he brought us this to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That was just rich. It produced. So now we bring the first fruits out of thankfulness. We give back. It says, and then you and the Levites, or the religious leaders, the temple priests, etc., and the servants, and the foreigners residing among you, even the foreigners among you, shall rejoice. Rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you. And that's what this Thanksgiving is all about, right? A time of rejoicing, of giving thanks for all that he's given us. You know, even when, especially when things are going bad, just sit down sometime and start thinking about the blessings you have. Think about the incredible ways that God has blessed you. It's going to change your perspective. It's going to change your outlook, and you're going to have this attitude of gratitude. You're just going to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. So in setting aside this tenth, we do that at Shalom too. Out of all the income Shalom gets, we set a minimum of 10%. It's usually 11% or more that we give to missions. And some churches, they'll do their annual budget at the end of the year. Oh, we got this much left over, so we'll give that to missions. Not here. One-tenth of everything that you give goes to missions at home and abroad. We're sending money to different missionaries we're supporting in India. We got the Sun Food Program serving our neighbor. We serve people in the area of Starbucks with food cards every month. We give to Praise FM, the local Christian radio station. Terrebinth Refuge in St. Cloud, where we help to bring women out of human trafficking and give them a life as God intended. And many more things that we give to. And again, it's a minimum of 10%. We take that every quarter for the deacons to look at what we got. Okay, 10%, right away to God, we're going to give for these missions, because that's important to us, to bless others, to spread the word. And yeah, so it's good to be a part of a tithing church where we do that. And then with what's left over, we pay the bills. But God first in all things, God first. Not expecting anything in return. Again, we're not giving to get. Alrighty. When you have finished setting aside the tenth, you shall give it to the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat your towns and be satisfied. Yeah, to bless others. Fatherless, foreigners, widows at that time, they had it tough. And God's people could then bless them. And that recalls Matthew 25, for whatever you do to the least of these, we do unto me, Jesus says, right? So by serving others, by blessing others, by giving to others, we're giving back to God as well. Someday maybe we get to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant, as a result. So giving is all throughout, and thanksgiving, right? We're giving many things, but we're giving thanks. And again, we can't do it enough, what God's given to us. But we say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. You have a testimony, share with others. Hey, listen to what God's done for me. He's pulled me out of this old life and into this new life. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. And now I'm just living this incredible life. It's not always easy, but he's always there with me. This testimony, if you heard testimonies of people, one of the best ones is when we cooperate with the Adult and Teen Challenge, and these people give up and give testimonies about how their lives have changed, what it used to be like versus what it is now. The hope that they have now, the future that they have now, when a lot of them had given up everything. They were broke, they were suicidal, they were just strung out on drugs, but then all that was removed and replaced then with the Holy Spirit, and God gave them hope. And hearing those testimonies is incredible. It's the best advertising you can get as a testimony, because it's a personal experience, a personal recommendation, right? It's not, well, hey, do you hear about this, that, or I read about this thing. No, here's what happened to me. God pulled me out of this pit. Tell the story. It's a great way to give others hope and to bring them in. Say, hey, you're having tough times. I know. I've been there. Let me tell you about what is possible, what God can do for you. Further down in the psalm today, some wandered in desert wastelands. These desert wastelands are of different forms, right? For some, it's loneliness, or it's addiction, or it's poverty, or they're just at a loss. They don't have hope. Wandering in that desert wasteland, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They are hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. They're just declining, okay? They don't know, or they don't care, or they don't have hope. But what changed? Verse 6, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, called out to God. I mean, from the heart. Sometimes you got to hit that rock bottom. And then it's a genuine cry. It's not just, Lord, help me. It's, Lord, you're my only hope. Help me. Help me. And a cry from the depths of your soul. And he delivered them from their distress. This deliverance is not a temporary reprieve. It's not just a little bit of help. It's a complete and total removal of what was there. And a freedom that replaces it. An incredible freedom. A purpose. Hope for the future. A life where there was none. Where he rescues us from our distress. And our God does that. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. It doesn't fail. He is always there for us. Sometimes we wander off in different directions, but he's there. He's waiting for us to return with wide open arms, ready to give us that big Jesus hug. For he satisfies the thirsty. and fills the hungry with good things. Other translations satisfies the thirsty soul. It's not just a physical thirst. This is a hungering for God, a thirsting for God, for what he has to offer. And he will provide. Maybe not as much as we want all the time, but enough. You know, think about people in the 1930s, Great Depression. They got through. Your grandparents got through. Did they have a lot? No, but they had enough. God will always provide enough. And for that, we give him thanks. So this hunger and this thirst, like we mentioned, that was well spoken of by Jesus in the gospel today. We have people hungering and thirsting. Well, he just fed 5,000 men along with women and children. So the total crowd was, you know, who knows, you know, 9,000, 10,000, who knows, a lot with the loaves and the fishes. He'd done this miracle. And then he walked on the water across the lake, followed up with another miracle. And the people saw that he was going there. So they circled around. They wanted more. More of what? More of Jesus? More of his teaching? Well, Jesus, when they found him, they said, "Rabbi, when do you get here?" His answer, he cut straight to the point. "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, not because of these miracles, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Because you got a free lunch. Now you're wanting more. Now, there's no such thing as a free lunch, huh? No, okay, well, they got fed for free. They saw this incredible miracle, and their bellies were full. So they follow him, and he knows their motives. But he tells them, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." Physical food will spoil. You got to clean out the refrigerator occasionally, right? And back in the dark nether regions, you find these biology experiments, okay? Physical food spoils. But spiritual food does not. It refreshes. It renews. It sustains. It brings his presence into us. And this, we're not talking physical bread of this bread of life. It's the spiritual bread that's going to feed us. And it's important to feed our spirits. You feed your body, you got to feed your spirit as well. You exercise your body, you got to exercise your spirit. You got to take care of your spirit. But they're still not getting it. They ask, "What must we do to do the works God requires? What do we have to do to earn this?" There's still this works theology here where they think, okay, we got to follow these laws, we got to do these works, we got to do these tasks. So they're expecting a set of rules or maybe some giant Herculean tasks that they have to do. No. It's not that at all. Jesus responds when they ask, "What are the works we must do? How do we do this?" He says, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." To believe. Doesn't require physical effort. There's no Herculean-sized task here. It's simply to believe. That's what God requires. He who believes will have eternal life, right? That belief is so important, once again. And it doesn't require physical effort. Now, it might take a little bit of effort inside us to believe, in a way, sort of, to get past our unbelief and to be willing to just turn ourselves over to God completely. We always want to retain that control. Or, "God, you can have this part of my life and this part, almost all of it, but I want to still keep this little part for myself." Well, we ought to be turning ourselves over completely that he can use us for his purposes in his kingdom. So to believe, that's what God requires. He follows it up talking about the manna in the wilderness that God once again provides, right? As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And now he's given us Jesus from heaven so we can be spiritually fed. And now through the Holy Spirit. Because he is the bread of life. Whoever comes to him will never go hungry. Whoever believes in him will never be thirsty. And again, this is a spiritual hungering and thirsting. We're all trying to replace with different things, but only God is the one that can satisfy. And all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I'll never drive away. He's faithful. He's going to say, "Welcome into my kingdom. Welcome home. I've prepared a place for you. I've been waiting for you all this time. While you're doing your wanderings, while you're doing this, that, and the other thing, I've been here waiting." And now he welcomes them back. And that's the will of God. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me." You're not going to be lost. You'll be secure. You give yourself to him. This is reassurance. Because, you know, we can do the wrong thing. We can screw up. He will not. He will not. And he'll raise them up at the last day. What an incredible thing to look forward to. For my Father's will, once again, God's will, not our will, but God's will, is that everyone who looks to the Son, looks to Jesus, and believes, again, believes in him, shall have eternal life. All it requires is believing. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, right? He gives his only Son that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And here, believing in him again shall have eternal life, just like he said to Nicodemus there. John 3, here we got it in John 6. And I'll raise them up at the last day. And this is reassurance from God. I mean, the one who is faithful, the one who doesn't renege on any promises, the one if he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So, Lord, for all this we give thanks, although but there's no way we can give thanks enough. But we do offer up ourselves. We offer up our hearts. We offer up our time. We offer up our talents for you. We offer up a part of our finances. We offer up everything for you, Lord. For you are the giver of all good things. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his love endures forever. Amen.